seen surges in a lot of states as a result of maybe opening too soon, in some people's opinion. So we had to be mindful of what those orders are and how that impacts the region we live in and our students are educated in at this point. We've also seen some significant increases in the availability of some of the material, the equipment that we needed. Someone asked earlier, are we going to have the infrared or digital thermometers? They're on order now, and we expect to have them in place before our students are welcomed back to our sites. We're going to continue to monitor the public health officials, and we certainly won't move forward with the opening of our schools. The brick and mortar portion of our schools, unless we have clearance from our state and local officials. We'll continue to monitor our local cases. And Dr. Janney talked a little bit about some of the regional difference that we'll touch on briefly in just a second as well. It's also important that we have all the cleaning supplies at our site. Sanitation remains a key consideration for our school's opening and welcoming our students back to school. And we need to make sure that we, and Dr. Aguirre will talk about that in just a second, we have all the supplies necessary to maintain cleanliness at our schools. Next slide. So this slide, which is a little difficult to read, talks a little bit about some of the non-negotiables that we want to highlight with you. On the far left, you can see some of the zip code data. Again, we have some regional differences in our own district that we have to be mindful of. The incident rate is different at Eastlake than at San Ysidro. And we need to be mindful of that as we determine what type of services and supports to provide the school. So we continue to monitor the releases from our public health officials so that we can provide the type of equitable support we need. The middle section of this slide talks about equity across the district. Also critical, we want to make sure that we're giving each student at every school exactly what they need. It may not be the same across the board for every school, but we want to ensure that students and staff, as well as the communities, are getting the support they need. But we also have to be mindful, as you'll hear over and over again, of the state and local guidelines. We have to adhere to those to the fullest. Next slide. Again, this is another slide that's kind of small and maybe difficult to read, but we talked earlier about addressing some of the health and safety matters. And here are a few of the essential components. Let's look at the first slide first. It deals with schools and social distancing on campuses. We need to make sure that we have very specific entry and exit points for our students and staff. There's also been a lot of information shared with the board and with our community about making certain that protocols are in place and that people are trained, our students and staff, on the content of those protocols. Some students, as I mentioned before, some staff maybe, need to wash their hands for the 20 seconds, and it needs to be done in a very deliberate manner. That may need to be showed and taught. So, again, those are some of the things that we'll be looking at. The parking, the entry and exit of transportation routes, how will nutrition services be impacted? And then, of course, we want to limit the number of staff and students on site. You can see in the middle slide or the middle item, it talks a little bit about some other safety considerations. We plan to screen our staff upon arrival every day in school. There's also going to be a questionnaire that I think you've heard some about already. The protocols I mentioned earlier, there's going to be protocols around hygiene, hand washing, use of hand sanitizers, coughing, etc. And Dr. Aguirre and his team have already ordered a number of protective equipment that we'll need for our staff and students. And the last section of this slide talks about detecting and responding to possible or potential COVID-19 cases. We're still developing quite a bit of the information around this, but suffice it to say that we will have those protocols in place. There's going to be certainly some expectations around self-reporting, testing, what to do if you come in close contact with a person diagnosed with COVID-19, and what about students or other family members that may have been exposed as well. So more to come on that one. The next slide. I think everyone should know, everyone listening to this email, that we have a few departments that have detailed information about our classrooms at every school in our district. So each classroom can be arranged with social distancing in mind. And you can see two separate classrooms and how they're set up. The one on the left side of the screen is a little more rectangular in shape, and then you have an elongated kind of square-shaped room on the right side. Both can be configured in a way that certainly takes advantage of the classroom space and maintains social distancing for the adults and the students in that classroom. Again, our planning and construction and maintenance department have all these dimensions, have all these classroom specs, and we will be sharing those as we go forward with preparing our classrooms. The next slide. Yeah, we've had a fair number of questions regarding athletics. And earlier I mentioned that a final decision regarding the fall sports season will probably be made within the next few weeks. The probability is we won't have a fall sports season. That's likely the case going forward. However, that decision, again, will be made over the course of the next several weeks. So until that happens, we've established a few things that we're sharing with not just our families, but our community members as well. So there's no established dates, as I mentioned, already for the fall sports season. All school athletics facilities, our related facilities, will be closed and remain closed, and that includes our gyms, our weight rooms, our locker rooms, the fields. So there'll be no youth sports practices, games, competitions, or access to our campuses, and that includes the youth camps or any youth sports organizations. The next slide. You know, and finally, this is our last slide, the last health and safety slide, and we know we need to make plans and protocols that have to be shared with all our stakeholders, and it needs to be culturally and linguistically appropriate. So we want to make sure we send information out that's easily read, it's legible, and also in multiple languages, and not use a lot of jargon in explaining what these protocols are around COVID-19 and the expectations of our school opening. So some of the districts that we've talked to in the past have been slow to translate a lot of their material. We will make sure that's one of the primary issues, our priorities, that we certainly address going forward. And next we have Dr. Aguirre to talk a little bit about the systems and equity.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Fulcher. So our group, the Systems and Equity Group, if we could kind of scroll to the next slide, address the following four subgroups: technology, access, and distribution, welcoming methods for all families, operations, particularly as it relates to nutrition services and transportations, and lastly, financial considerations. So with that, I'll ask Mr. De La Calzada to share with us what the thinking is regarding information technology and how to ensure that all students have technology devices as the school year begins. Mr. De La Calzada.
Thank you, Dr. Aguirre. In the area of information technology, all computer devices will be sanitized and properly packaged in plastic bags. These packaged devices will then be presented to students and families that need computers for distance learning. iPad devices will be distributed starting with incoming 7th grade middle school students. We will also distribute Lenovo Chromebooks or Lenovo Windows 10 devices to our incoming 9th grade high school students. We will use a drive-through process for distributing computers to our students and families. For those students and families in most need or have special circumstances that require internet at home, we will provide this connectivity through several options. We will utilize Cox Communications Connect Compete program for internet services. We have also acquired T-Mobile Sprint hotspots for internet access. We will also provide enhanced connectivity at select school site parking lots for internet. These technology devices and services will be provided to students in late July before our school opening on August 3rd. Moises?
So one of our subgroups has been focused on how do we welcome students. We all acknowledge that last school year came to an end rather abruptly for everybody, staff, students, parents. It was a very atypical experience. So as we think about how we start the new school year, one of the things we've been considering is how do we create virtual welcoming experiences for both our families, our parents, and our students.